This is not where we're going to start this morning, but I'd like for you to find it. It's Hosea. It's the little book after Daniel, which follows the major prophets. For you little ones here with your Bible, if I had to keep telling you that, I'm going to have to hurt you, so start bringing them. But that's not where I want to begin. I'd like to begin in 1 John chapter number 4. Only two verses here. That in Hosea, one in Philippians, and then closing out in Hebrews 12. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 and 10, we'll read in a minute. And I hope to speak to you on the love of God manifested. Before we read, would you bow with me? Father, you've given us another day, another opportunity to get beyond a religious service, to get beyond the words of the speaker, and hear Thee. And Father, for that to be true, you must open the book, at the same time open our understanding, and from Thy Word speak to our hearts. And Father, we'll keep asking you, for Thy great name's sake, honor and glory, for the lifting up of Jesus Christ, who became a lowly man, we'll keep asking you for Thy Spirit. You promised that you would give him, and he used fathers as an illustration. If we know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give you the Spirit? So we're asking you for it. We're asking you for clarity in speaking, in hearing, in an understanding. And we're asking you, Father, to let everything outside the realms of these four walls somewhat disappear in mind, and focus our spiritual eyes upon Christ. And if we do not have these, Grant us seeing eyes and hearing ears. For Christ's name's sake, we ask these things. Amen. 1 John 4:9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The love of God manifested. And to use the word manifested, that means to make known something that was hidden or something that was unknown. Without controversy, 1 Timothy 3:16, great is the mystery of godliness. For God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, received up into glory. Great is the mystery. Well, you can't know a mystery until somebody makes it known to you. For you to know about the love of God, God had to manifest it. Don't hand me this, well, I can read it in John 3:16. Sure you can. And the devil's on their journey to their eternal state of condemnation, they can read that, but they'll never know anything about it. Colossians 2:13, and you being dead, Paul writing to the church there at Colossae, you were dead in sins and the uncircumcision of your heart. You who were like this hath God quickened and made alive. Now, if you follow a loved one to the funeral home, and you go in there to view the body, and that one was very dear to you, you can say to them, I love you. But there'll never be a response from them. They need life to respond for you to make known your heart to them. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, that God is love, and Jesus came to make it known, shows that the love of God is a revelation and a manifestation to man. It is not a discovery that you'll ever find out. I used to, as a youngster, there was a field off from the main field there where Tim's got his older chicken houses. I used to like to go down there after it had been plowed, getting ready to plant or sow whatever. After a rain, I'd like to go down there. For there was a great number of arrowheads, and I've picked up many down there. They were buried. They were hidden from the eye, but something brought them to the surface in plowing that field, and then the rain washing off that which had covered them, soil. Then I found some really good arrowheads. They were revealed, made known to me by that which they had undergone there. So the love of God is a revelation. It's not something you discover. Now you could go down there today and I doubt you could find any. I mean, you might work and work and work and find some. But you couldn't discover until something brought them from wherever they are, compacted in deep into the soil, buried or whatever. So Jesus Christ, God the Father, had to manifest, reveal, make known to that one dead in sin and trespasses, give them life, then make known, I love you. You can't live, folk, on this general concept that God loves. You might miss heaven. You got to know about the love of God personally. There are many, many things in this old world that gives mankind enough glimpse in their existence that there was a creator. Man without a Bible knows that there's something out there far greater than he is or than that what he will ever see. The old North American Indians, they had no Bible, and if they had no missionary like David Brainerd going up there, literally giving his physical life for getting the gospel to them. Even though they had no Bible and they had no great missionary, they still are going to worship something. It might be that giant light in the sky, or that one that comes up at night, or some particular star that shines brighter than the others. Or if none of these things, then they'll cut down a tree and they'll make a god out of that. They're going to worship something. They just know something was in existence and brought all that I see into existence before I ever got here. You're going to worship something. You might not admit that, and you might think you don't, but you are. And the Father seeketh such to worship him in truth and in spirit. But they had a missionary, and he carried as many Bibles as he could get. And they found out, if God opened their heart, if God gave them life, they found out about the Creator. Now, creation displays the wisdom of the Creator. We, for centuries, I don't know how far down man has fallen in mind and spirit, but he's continued to decrease there. David was looking out at the stars, looking out beyond this old world that God created. And he knew There's a world out there and a great God out there. And this old earth that I live on, it's just not the center of the universe. And then we just kept going down as human beings. Though we increased in wisdom, we kept going down spiritually. But in that wisdom, we found out our earth's not the center. That giant ball of fire up there giving off heat and light, that's the center of our galaxy, which then was thought to be the extent of the entirety of the world. And we found out that its gravitational attraction was so great that it held all of the 9 satellites orbiting around it. It had to be, and it is, powerful. Now, before Galileo made a telescope that would enlarge something 20 times, someone else already had invented one that would enlarge objects 3 times, but he got that one that would enlarge objects 20 times, and we kept increasing till we were able to look out and see more of God's great creation. And then they came up with a Hubble telescope and put it in an orbit around our earth, got it out of the earth's atmosphere, and from the views that it is bringing back to earth, there is such a display that we did not know was out there. New stars, new clusters with such a brilliance that it would put our old earth to shame down here. Unknown to us. And they say that it is sending back light, sight, from 13 billion light years. That's a long way out there. And so if you have not, I asked you one time before, just go out there and look at that which we're gaining by way of the Hubble telescope. And as I've told you in the previous month, 2 or 3 times, God's out there past that. God's greater, greater than all that. But we've become so earth-centered and so fixed in our own little personal orbit that we miss it all now. We're like children. They headed off to the beach, or they headed off to this spot or to that spot, and or even adults, you're getting a week off from work and you're so excited about getting there that you miss everything along the way. All the beauty left here. The little one says, "Are we there yet?" And if they got far to go, you hear that question 100 times. And then 10 minutes after they ask that, how far we got to go? How much longer before we get there? And they never, in anticipation of that which is out there in front of them, they never stop. They never enjoy the scenery. And you're speeding your way through life and you give so little thought of the beauty, not only in God's creation here, but in that beyond our old earth. And then we came up with all these telescopes that brought worlds, galaxies, untold galaxies into our thinking. Now we know that our sons, not the center of the universe. There are other suns out there. There's stars out there that have never been seen before in beauty out there. But then we came up with the microscope. And we began, as the power in these increased, we began looking at the structure of that which had been invisible. We discovered the building blocks of matter. I think it was four things that those that were involved in any degree of science hundreds of years ago, four things: earth, water, wind. And lapse of memory. The fourth one escapes me. Take back wind, add air in there in its place. But we began to see, as we looked at that which had been invisible, and we discovered such an orderly arrangement in the simplest of matter. We found out elements is not the beginning point. They're made up, and we got to looking at the atom, and then within the atom we found out there's the core, there's the center of it, and then it's got all these different little particles moving around. Just a small picture of the greater picture of our galaxy. How orderly God has arranged all things. But then they got to thinking, as they got into the nucleus of an atom, and it was packed with all these like particles, what's holding it together? What's holding you together? What's holding the pew you're sitting on together? Well, I'll let you know another little secret of science. Everything is headed towards entropy. That's the least order of arrangement. So you're going downhill. I don't care if you're a teenager. And you'll get gray-headed, and you'll ache because your old body wears out. You don't believe that today, but if you live long enough, you'll know it to be true. We're just all headed back to the dust in which we were created. And they couldn't figure out, you got all this with that little atom having so many, some elements having so many like particles bound so tight. You know how powerful it is? 1945, America dropped the first bomb, made from the power that we had discovered by splitting the smallest of all particles. Well, not the smallest. We've since found others. It wiped out, devastated, and Japan ran up the white flag. We can't do anything about such power as that. Now, there's so much wisdom and so much power out there displayed in what God created. The sun, It coming up early, going down late, darkness, its path from morning to evening, brightest at noonday, the moon coming up in the darkness of the night hours, a gentle breeze, or sometimes that fierce wind blowing, the rain falling, the tide in places creating a great noise that bashes against the rocks and heads into the shore. All of that, we see the wisdom of God, we see the power of God. Trees from green to the leaves turning into beautiful colors in the fall. And flowers scattered all across the land, made up of seven little colors. It just beautifies. Then there are times when the sun and the streaks it leaves and the morning glow of it and the great air and atmosphere above you, it just paints such a beautiful picture over you. You know God created all of this. Now, without a Bible, which these 66 little books are only a limited expression of the being of God, with a Bible and the work of the Holy Spirit within your heart, giving you first of all a new heart and then opening your eyes from time to time to see what's in, we would know that the sun represents the bridegroom, or that the moon represents the church. No light of its own, only reflecting that of the sun. And the more light that is reflected on the moon past, well, the first and middle part of the week, the moon, it's just been brilliant. But you get all that light, you begin to see the dark spots. You begin to grow. And you begin to walk in the light as He is the light. And all of a sudden, all these dark spots begin to appear. Now we can see the power, and we can see the wisdom in all that God has created. It's just a display that you can see in all this. But the one thing that is not revealed in creation, and the few little things that I've set before you to describe, is the heart of God. It's not displayed in creation. The love of God is silent, for it is the one thing that cannot be discovered by God. That's His heart. You see His power, you can see His wisdom, and you can see some of these other attributes of God, but you can never see His heart. That's got to be manifested. You can never know of the love of God towards you until God reveals it to you. It's silent. Everything around you is silent as to that. Now look with me at Hosea chapter number 3. You all are familiar with the book of Hosea. We're in chapter 1. God told him to go marry. Take a wife of whoredoms. He did. They had several children. She went back to her old way of living, left him. Now chapter number 3, then said the Lord unto me, go yet love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord. Now, can you imagine how difficult that would be on an individual? Had a family, back out in the streets now. But God said, you love her, manifest to her the love of God, the love of the Lord, who took, according to the love of God toward the children of Israel, who looked to other gods. I'm going to let you know what the nation and my people are like by you marrying a harlot. And by her returning to her former lovers who look to other gods, that's Israel, and love flagons of wine. Now listen, so I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, for an omer of barley and half omer of barley. And I said unto her, thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot. Thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. Gomer would never have known the love of her husband had he not purchased her back to him. 15 pieces of silver, an omer, and well, we better add another half in that. She would never have known had he left her out there in the streets, had he not expressed. You will never know the love of God until it is manifest to you. Now verse number 3, he told her, you abide with me. My love for you will only be expressed by you being faithful to the one that purchased you. Do you think God's going to manifest love to a rebellious child? Do you think God's going to manifest his love to a backslidden child? Do you think God's going to reveal his love to you that's got all these other gods? No. And for true love, I'm not talking about infatuation. True love is going to cost you. You know how much it's going to cost you? Yourself. You lose so much of the identity that you were born with when you begin revealing your heart in true love. A single man or woman got out from under the bondage of mom and dad, they can live somewhat a self-fulfilling life. They can go, they can do, they can spend as they want. But they are hindered somewhat. If you spend, you got to work to have it. And we got to add in that dreaded taxes that the government takes out of every cent you earn. And the single one has personal responsibilities, their needs to survive, food, rest, exercise, proper hygiene, and that's going to cost you more money, but you're still free. Other than what life demands of you. But now you find love. And you bring another into your world. That's going to cost you self. Now to begin a difficult process of each losing their identity in another. And you live for another at the expense of what you like, what you want to do, everything. And to join over a period of years and years, become one. They're thinking. They can look at the other and know she's thinking this or he's thinking that. I've used here several times, pardon me for repeating this again, but traveling on Sunday afternoon, you pass the old country home with the front porch or the trees out, and you'd see chairs, and you see the old man and the old woman swinging or sitting there in the shade trees in the cool of the day. They weren't talking to one another. They didn't have to talk. They'd been living together for so long, they knew. But they had to die. As they begin that process of becoming one. So there's a degree of death in you, a degree of death continually in you because of love. Now, an egotistical, proud, selfish, self-centered individual will never know true love. If you think so much of yourself that everybody owes you, you'll never know. It's not going to happen. In this was manifest the love of God. Now before I get to Hebrews, turn back with me to Philippians. Chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. And verse number 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now if you go back and you take your Strong's and you get the meaning of these words in the Greek, you find out that there are two different words used here, where our translators only use things. The first word, things, means himself, his, herself. And of course the second, every man also on the things of others, that does mean objects, but personal needs. Love brings you to this point where you are not looking on self. You've moved into another realm of expressing your heart to another And the both of you begin dying. That's the cost of love. Now, creation cannot make known the heart of God. The Word alone, this book, inspired as it is, alone cannot make known the heart of God. There had to be a revelation in your heart from God. This is my heart expressed to you. Adam and Eve found out that God didn't lie to them when he said, the day you eat thereof, you die. Sin brought death, and sin brought separation from God. But because of the heart of God, they were not left in that condition. God slew two animals, provided a covering for their nakedness. Down through the years and centuries passing, God instituted sacrifices and offerings. Only as a figure and as a type of the coming Messiah. Then prophets began to look way down through the ages of time. They saw and they heard about from God Himself. The Messiah is coming. The promised seed to Eve. He's coming. But they didn't see clearly. Isaiah writes, who's going to declare his generation? He was cut off out of the land of the living. One thing Abraham knew, if God didn't raise that son, then Abraham dies. Abraham's family, Abraham's name dies with him. And so the old prophet Isaiah was looking and he saw this one son of God's cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of his people. And he's thinking, well, he never did marry. Who's going to carry on his name? Be no one to carry on the name of Abraham if the promised son dies. And he had to go through all that. But he knew and he believed God to be faithful. Christ said in Matthew 13, many prophets and righteous men have desired to see that you see and have not seen them, and to hear that you hear and have not heard them. They longed for that day, for a manifestation of God in person. Hebrews 11, the writer said, these died in faith, not having received the promise, but seeing them afar off. But they got enough glimpse of the promise that they were persuaded by them and embraced them. Christ said, John recording what he said in chapter 8, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day and saw it. But that was by spiritual sight, looking down through 6,000 years, or between 5,000 and 6,000 years of history. So you can only know the heart of God by God Himself manifesting His love to you. Instead of turning to Hebrews 12, I'll close. I won't get into that. That would take another 30 minutes or more, so I won't get into that. But turn to John chapter number 1. And I want you to see the greatest display of the heart of God and of the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. John 1:18. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. Keep that thought in mind, which is in the bosom of the Father, and flip over to John 3. No man's seen God except the Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. John 3:13, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man. Now notice, he's standing here on the ground. He said, which is in heaven. Now John 1:18. No man has seen God, but the only begotten Son, which is in. Well, here again. He's already born. He's already 30 years of age. And he's still in the bosom of the Father, walking around on earth. So the greatest display of the heart of God and of his Son. Genesis 1, that first day, God said, let there be light. Now Jesus said, I am the light of the world. As I've told you, that wasn't the creation of the sun or the moon. That only took place on day number 4. So, there was a separation in the Godhead, where the Son became distinct. There always was a Son, but he came distinct from the Father in departing glory to get here to manifest his heart. I think it's day 3, might be day 2, when God divided. Well, day 1 he divided light from the darkness. So Jesus said, I who is in the bosom of the Father, I make known God. And you'll never know my Father except I reveal him to you. And you'll never know me except my Father reveals me unto you. The great heart of God cannot be known apart from divine revelation, or as John said, manifestation. I hope you're seeking after, searching to find out more than just the power of God and the wisdom of God displayed in His creation, but find out about His heart. It's as vast as God Himself is. It's as far-reaching as the Son of God separated from the bosom of His Father coming down here. Don't live on this idea. Somebody said God loves you. Don't live on that, folk. Please don't. Get to the reality of God's heart manifests to you.